Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the real challenges facing Arizonans. Welcome to Democratic Perspective. We're talking with Ann Kirkpatrick again today. Ann is a former congressional representative from CD1. She's running for election again. She's running against Paul Gosar. I wanted to ask her, I mean, the last election, you tried to get Paul Gosar to be on the same show with you, tried to get him to debate with you, and he just sort of ran and hid, and you ended up talking to Tea Party folks, and he ended up hiding out for the whole election, and he won.
It was an unusual year. It was an unusual election, but, you know, debate is part of the legislative political world. I love it. It's how people find out what their choices are between candidates' views. And so that's what it's about this time, is there will be very clear choices.
Right.
And it's still all about jobs because unemployment is way too high. But how do we create jobs? The first thing we have to do is close the tax loophole that allows big corporations to ship American jobs overseas. We do that. We give incentives to bring those jobs back to the United States. What else do we have to do? We've got to stop giving the big subsidies to the oil industry when they've been making record profits for years and years and years and years. And we take that money and we invest it in new technologies, emerging business, clean energy, wind, solar, the new innovative ideas that we see coming up with small businesses. The third thing we do is we invest in education. If we're going to move forward in this country, we have to have good schools from preschool all the way to the universities.
Excellent. And I want to say that my cousin Tino is also here.
Yes.
That's all right.
It
looks like he's here.
He's back from Italy.
He's here. I can guarantee
that's right.
He's here.
Right. And then those three job creators are wonderful. And it seems like every 6 months the oil profits are announced. They are record and they are huge, and they any portion of which would fix almost dozens of national problems, and nobody does anything.
Yeah. No,
we've got to
close that.
I'm from Oklahoma, and the oil industry is very big in the state, and everybody argues for all these benefits for oil and all these things, but privately, everybody knows it's a boondoggle, folks.
Yeah.
Now, they don't need huge tax breaks. They really don't. They're making billions and billions of dollars. Why? And the question I had, Ann, was why are the Republicans against blocking the export of jobs? What's the deal there? Why do they want tax loopholes for exporting jobs? I mean, Americans don't have enough jobs as it is.
Every Republican in Congress right now has taken the pledge against tax increases. And I tell folks, you know, that the only pledge I take is the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. I mean, that's the only pledge I take. But they've all taken that. They've signed on to it. And the definition of increasing taxes has expanded. So it includes doing away with loopholes and tax credits that don't make sense anymore.
Well, so
we've got to come up with common sense solutions. And so that's the problem that we're running with.
Signing an allegiance to an organization other than the government, I think, and I don't want to use the word, you know, when I'm looking at it, that's abrogating their job. They were elected to do a job. One of those jobs is to create revenue and make expenditures. So signing an allegiance to some other organization is an impeachable offense.
Well, and it's interesting because I talk to all kinds of people. You know, I don't ask them what party. I've always been that kind of person. I don't care what your party is. I'm looking for good ideas. And there are a couple of central things that I hear from folks, and that is that we need to wean ourselves of our dependence on foreign oil. The subsidies to big oil don't make sense anymore, and we need to bring American jobs back here. So the problem is that this Congress doesn't get it. Yeah, they're not listening because they've signed this pledge. You know, they've limited their ability because of that pledge to listen to what the American people want.
They've locked themselves in, so it doesn't matter how much sense it makes to do a close a loophole. They don't want to close the loophole because they signed a pledge that says they will absolutely not raise taxes under any circumstances, no matter what.
Right. And you're seeing that now with this committee of 12, you know, who are working on trying to cut $1 trillion, and you know, again, you know, taking that position. You know, Speaker Boehner came out and said, well, you know, I will not support any revenue increases whatsoever. And so, anytime you take a hard line position like that, it really limits the ability to come up with solutions. And, you know, people want solutions.
Exactly.
They want
That's what I hear. That's what I hear more than anything.
Who can work together. And I mean, I have to tell you, I was in Washington recently, and to actually see and feel how dysfunctional this Congress is right now left a big impression on me. And folks are seeing and feeling that. And, you know, they're saying to me, I mean, they're saying, you know, this Congress has made themselves irrelevant because they can't get anything done.
We hear that people are increasingly giving up on even on voting. They just think their votes don't matter. I think
so. Well, in that, you know, their votes do matter.
I know.
And, you know, I remind people that, you know, the preamble of the Constitution says, we the people of the United States, in order to establish a more perfect union. I mean, we are America, but we, part of that responsibility is having our voices heard and voting.
Would you say your message is more to Democrats or independents?
My message is to the American people. I mean, Mike, quite honestly, my message is moving this country forward. And people say, you know, why are you doing this again? And, you know, I say, you know, I wake up in the morning. I don't have grandchildren yet. Oh. My husband and I are a blended family. He has two boys, I have two girls, you know. Yeah, but I think, you know, grandchildren might be in my future, and certainly you probably both have them. And, you know, what kind of world are we going to leave for our children in the future?
We've talked NSA before. I'm sorry. We've talked national scenic area, local issue. As far as what we're going to leave.
Right.
You are, and here we are in CD1. This is our district. You were the representative. You want to be the representative again. You support National Scenic Area as a way of leaving something, I assume.
The first bill I'll introduce after my reelection is the bill to designate the Red Rocks as a National Scenic Area. Not only does it preserve a wonderful, beautiful natural resource, but it creates jobs. People come to Sedona from all over the world because of its natural beauty. And we've got to preserve that.
This is like uranium mining. How can anybody be against this? How can anybody be for uranium mining at the Grand Canyon? How can anybody be against this? This is a rhetorical question. There's no...
Well, and that's a choice people have. I mean, Paul has refused to champion the National Scenic Area designation. That'll be the first bill I introduce. He's in favor of uranium mining at the canyon. I'm opposed to it.
It seems that where we are, folks, particularly if you're coming in from the Internet, we're in one of the most beautiful places in the United States. It includes the Grand Canyon, dozens of parks and national monuments.
I have same experience.
And we have a special purpose, I think, in protecting them, don't we?
Those of us that live here, yeah.
We do. And I have to tell you, in spite of, you know, you mentioned folks feel like their votes don't count, but I'm seeing right now an energy and an enthusiasm and an excitement and wanting to talk about solutions among people in this district that I haven't seen in the past. And that's great. I mean, that's what people want, and I think it's a wonderful opportunity. And we're starting to see some good things. I mean, retail sales are up in Arizona. Car sales have gone way up, and so, you know, things are starting to turn around, and I think we're in a real positive place right now in terms of moving forward with great common sense, practical solutions for our future.
That's great.
I wanted to get back to the question, why are the Republicans against taxing the wealthy, making them pay their fair share. I mean, when I lived back east, I knew a lot of these people. I mean, they're very happy to take any tax cut. They don't really need it, though. Is there something more than the fact that they've signed these pledges that they will never raise taxes no matter what? They'll never have a change in the percentage of income that's taxed and so forth and so on?
You know, honestly, you'll have to ask them, but but I will tell you that the gap between the extremely wealthy and the middle class, the working class in our country, has never been greater than it is right now.
Is that a threat to democracy?
It is. It is. And that is something that we've got to address as a nation. It's not who we are. It's not how we were founded. It's not how we lived in the past. And that's something that we've got to address. And people want solutions for that.
When I've heard
they're
you
concerned.
Speak, you're right. They are. They are definitely concerned. And the solutions is what they want to hear. I hear that constantly. You have been, when I've heard you speak, you've been an Obama apologist, for want of a better term. And I enjoy that. I enjoy hearing your spin because I'm just have a little frustration, as many Democrats do. I want you to talk about that role, as what you do on the campaign trail when you're talking about Obama.
Well, let me just say that being president of the United States is a position, regardless of who's in it, that we should treat with dignity and respect. I'm not going to second guess the president because I don't want to walk in his shoes, quite honestly. However, as Americans, you know, we have the right to disagree on issues. We do within our families, within members of Congress. And that's the kind of healthy debate. And so while I completely support what the president did with the Affordable Care Act,
yes, sir,
there are some other things that, you know, I see a little differently. And, you know, that's where we'll have a conversation and discussion. But he's done some great things. I mean, he signed the Lilly Ledbetter Equal Pay Act, where women finally in this country get and deserve equal pay to men. That's huge.
That's huge.
He ended Don't Ask, Don't Tell in the military.
Mm-hmm.
That's huge. He signed the Affordable Care Act. That's huge. Specific to my district, he signed the bill that lifted the Bennett Freeze area designation on Navajo, which was an area that still has no electricity or running water. Mm-hmm. And so those are the things that I think we need to continue to move forward on.
Right, right. When I hear you talk about Obama, and especially affordable health care, and I know that certainly was the vote that won you the most friends and won you the most enemies.
No doubt about it. And it's also the one I'm most proud about.
There you go. I'm glad you said that. But it does seem like you have to. There's so much misinformation on Barack Obama that's out there all the time. So it's a breath of fresh air to have someone like Ann Kirkpatrick come around to the local districts and talk about.
It's important to talk to you about the issues one-on-one and
just
what you think.
And
hopefully people will listen to the differences between candidates and stuff. Mike, you have a couple of announcements here. And
I do have a couple of announcements.
I want to thank Ann for being here.
Ann is our go-to girl here. She's been great. We haven't had her on before. We're going to have her on again.
Thank you both.
Yeah,
thank you so much.
It's great to have her again because it's always relevant to what's going on with us. But we have our Democratic, local Democratic organization, the Democrats of the Red Rocks, are going to have the great big dinner at the Hilton on October 21st.
It's a fundraiser, folks. It'll cost you to get in.
It's a fundraiser. We had Valerie Plame and Joe Wilson, to ride on some past coattails. We had a fundraiser in the same place as my last memory of the last time we were at the Hilton. Which was just great. It was a great meeting.
Democrats of the website, Democrats of the Red Rocks website's the place to check out the information.
Yes, sir. VVID.org is where you can hear these broadcasts and find more information and more links. And we have the breakfast coming up October 20th. At the Old Sedona Bar and Grill, and we have great speakers and lots of good political rolling around. And
you have to pay for breakfast, folks. That's it.
You can buy me breakfast.
You've been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 o'clock news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.